This morning I'd like to share a word with you. It might be a bit of a strong word, but I think not. But it's in line with where we're at. And this year, of course, as you know, our theme is forward. What's our theme? It's forward, amen, and we're moving forward. And one of the things about moving forward is that you can't afford to get comfortable, amen. You can't afford to get, if you want to move in God, you can't afford to get complacent. If you want to move in your marriage, forward in your marriage, you can't afford to just be complacent. If you want to move in your business and be a successful business person, you can't be complacent, amen. And so we've looked at certain letters last week and the week before, I think. We looked at the F and the O. The F stands for focused in our faith. And I use the word about being focused. And I think it's important that sometimes we become a jack of all trades, running hither and thither, as the King James Version would say, hither and thither. But we're not going to run hither and thither. We're going to be focused into doing what God has called us to do. And that basically our walk with God is a walk by faith. What is it a walk of? It's a walk by faith. And then the O, last week I spoke about how that this year we're going to be open to every God opportunity. I didn't say any opportunity, because I don't want an opportunity that takes me outside of the will of God. What's the point of having a great opportunity and signing up with somebody and then 6 months later my marriage is in a mess, I'm no longer serving God, I'm backslidden and all of that. So we want to be open to every God opportunity. This morning I'm going to do something naughty. I'm not going to go to the next letter. What was the next letter, by the way? It was R, and ready to reap every reward. We're going to leave that for another time. I'd like to look at the next letter, W, this morning. And this morning, I know we're saying there we win wholeheartedly. We win wholeheartedly, but I'd like you to say this after me. We win when we win the lost at any cost. Look at somebody and tell them, I win when I win the lost. Look at somebody and tell them, you win when you win the lost. So on that note, if you have your Bibles, let's look at Matthew 28. Matthew 28, and we're going to look at verse 18. And we're going to listen to the words of Jesus. Okay? These are the words of Jesus. And verse 18 says that, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Then verse 19 is important. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, I know that, you know, Hebrews 3 and 5 says that God will never leave us nor forsake us. And so we have, you know, the sense that he's with us. But I want you to understand that there is something very special about a soul winner. There is something very special about somebody who has it in their heart to win the lost at any cost. Then I want you to look at Mark 16, verse 15, and let's look again at the words of Jesus. And Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it'll by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Hallelujah. And so I want us to look at these two scriptures, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, once again, I thank you for your word this morning that comes to us. And I thank you that your word is life, your word is spirit, and your word is meat to our hearts. That this morning, I thank you that your word would minister what it is right now, what it is that we have need of right now. Let your word find its place. Let your word find its mark. And we are open and receptive today. Thank you that our ears are circumcised, not to hear the voice of a man or to hear the voice of an organization, but Lord, I pray today that our ears would be sensitized to hearing your voice. And when we hear your voice, I thank you that we will obey, that whatever you say, we will do in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at somebody and tell them, we win when we win the lost. Look at somebody and tell them, I win when I win the lost. Hallelujah. Now we'll get to that in just a minute. But Jesus gave his last instructions just before he left the earth. And these words in Matthew 28, you might have heard the Great Commission. This is what is referred to as the Great Commission. When you read Matthew 28, 18 through to 20, that is the Great Commission. The Great Commission, if I can say, family of God, is actually not a suggestion. It's not actually a request. It's not actually a go home and pray about it and see how you feel thing, but actually it is a command that is coming from the lips of Jesus. This is a command from the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And Jesus basically told us to bring his total ministry, in other words, the total work of the cross, to our cities, our neighborhoods, to our nations, actually to the uttermost parts of the earth. And he said signs and wonders would follow. And here Jesus said, go. When you look at that word go, you can see that his love and the compassion for the world and for sinners is wrapped up in that word go. You and I were born again to go. Did you know that this morning? We were forgiven of every transgression so that we might go. We were washed in the blood and filled with the Holy Ghost so that we might go. We were given the word and every promise that is found in this book so that we could go. And yet it's amazing how so many believers feel like this is not for them. They say, well, Pastor, I haven't been called to go, and I'm not in full-time ministry, and so I don't feel the need to go. But when you look at that word go actually literally means as you are going. As you are going. In other words, every one of us is going about our daily life and doing what we believe we have been talented and gifted to do in this life. And it's as we are going about our daily life that we are, in the sense, to share the love of Jesus with others. You see, when you look at this command, the Great Commission is not just for a limited, selected few who kind of feel like a missionary calling, or I feel an evangelistic anointing. Instead, it is a command to every child of God. It is to everyone who may be anywhere going about their day-to-day activities. For example, on your way to work, on your way to school, on your way to the mall to shop, on your way to gym or to CrossFit, on the way to your board meeting, on the way to visit families and friends. In other words, wherever you are going out to carry the normal functions of your everyday life. And Jesus says, as you are going about your day-to-day activities, would you share my love with others? Would you tell them that I love them? As you go about your day-to-day activities, would you let them know that they can come to me, all who are weary and heavily laden, and I will give them rest? As you go about your day-to-day being a mechanic or a doctor or a lawyer or an accountant, would you tell them that my love for them is relentless and I'll never give up on them? Would you tell them that there is no shadow I won't light up, nor any mountain that I won't climb up coming after them? Would you tell them that there is no wall I won't kick down, nor any lie that I will tear down coming after them? Hallelujah. Praise God. Every single one of us is here saved. You know why? Because somebody obeyed God and dared to share his love with us. You are here this morning not because an angel came and the angel told you the story, or maybe a giraffe while you were out at the game, Kruger Game Park. A giraffe came and there it was. And while you were watching the giraffe started to talk to you and told you about Jesus. You are here because somebody, some person, somebody obeyed God and dare to share the love of God with you. I will never, ever, ever forget that year, first year at Natal University, UKZN now, but I was doing my first year BSc, and in my class was this Indian gentleman by the name of Roland Lenny Manny. And somehow, when I look back, I could see it was how the Lord was orchestrating things. As you know, my life, I wasn't a believer. I was a Christian, but I could have been a Hindu. I could have been anything. That didn't mean anything. Didn't mean anything. Automatically, we think white and we think Christian, but I could have been anything. We weren't trained up to read the Bible or anything like that. And I was green when it came to the Bible. I wasn't schooled in the Bible. I went to church twice a year, Easter time and Christmas time. And most often those times were in Latin. So I don't know what the guy was talking about. But I went to look at, you know, who the talent was, who's there. Nobody ever did that, I know. Even today, nobody comes to church to look at the talent. But here was a guy in my first year university, in my chemistry class and my physics class. Somehow he was just all the time with me. We would do our tutorials together, and we would do our preps together, and every so often he would talk to me about Jesus. And I would say to him, Roland, I'm Roman Catholic. Me and the Pope, we like this, you know. I've got my religion, you got your religion, you stay on that side, I'll stay on my side. Amen. I didn't say amen, but I used other adjectives. But you know what? He would just continue, and he wasn't forceful. He wouldn't Bible punch. He wouldn't judge. He wouldn't condemn. He would just every so often, like, you know, when you just every so often need something, he would just every so often tell me about Jesus. I'll never forget the one time he said to me, what does it mean? Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. And I listened to him and I thought, what on earth is he talking about? Is this guy demon possessed or something? Greater is he that is in you. Who's in you? There's nobody in you unless you're demon possessed. I didn't understand that God could reside on the inside of you. And I'd give him my explanation and he would just listen to me. And then he would say, now let me tell you what it really means, you know. But he was there. He was telling me about Jesus. And all the time it was like these seeds were deposited on the inside of me. On the other side, my life was spiraling more and more and more out of control. And the more I tried to drink, the more empty I came out the next day. The more woman I had, the more unfulfilled I would be. And so I wanted more. I wanted more drugs. I wanted more. I wanted to go out more. And that was self-destruction. I was spiraling downwards until the day came when I gave my heart to Jesus. But it actually was because of Roland. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Roland. And then when I moved to second year to do pharmacy at UDW, he continued at UKZN. And we would meet. We would meet at the campus and he'd have his guitar and we would sing and talk about the Lord. And he would encourage me. And just encourage one another, sing to God, minister together. And then the one day I could see that he didn't look good. You know, his face was like as if he hadn't slept for several days. And I said, Roland, what's the matter? And he said, man, I got bad news. What's the news, Roland? They've discovered cancer in my body. And I didn't know really much. And so we prayed and saw all of that. But it got worse and worse until one day I got the call to say, Roland's passed away. And I was thinking, God, you know what? Here was a guy who was a brilliant chemist, a brilliant student who had a heart to go to Afghanistan and those countries to be a missionary. And I was saying, God, now look, where is he now? Where is he now? And I heard the Lord say to me, if it was just to get to you, it was worth to bring him back home. But I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Roland. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for somebody who stepped out of their comfort zone, who obeyed God and dared to share the love of Jesus with you. Look at the words of King Solomon. These are strong, but we're going to get stronger. In Proverbs 24:11, it says, deliver those who are drawn toward death and hold back those stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, surely we did not know this, does not he who weighs the hearts consider it? He who keeps your soul, does he not know it? And will he not render to each man according to his deeds? Do you know, family of God, if we don't share the love of Jesus with people, God will actually hold us accountable. I don't mean to be judgmental or condemnatory this morning, but I'm here to tell you that we need to share the love of Jesus with people. You know, Ezekiel says something that is pretty strong. And let's look at this for those of you that are strong this morning. Any strong people here this morning? Ezekiel 3 verse 17 says, son of man. And when he says son of man, he's saying son of woman. So it's not, this is not gender. This is male and female. I heard the Lord say, son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of the Durban Christian Center. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood, I will require it at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked and he does not turn from the wickedness nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Look at somebody and tell them, I win when I win the lost. I don't want this to be condemnatory. Yet if the Lord is bringing about conviction, let him convict us this morning. I'll never forget when I started in the ministry. I started in Cape Town. And I was called to go and pray for a woman who was in the hospital. She was busy dying. She had cancer, and she didn't have long to go. And so I thought, well, praise God, what a great opportunity to share the Lord Jesus Christ with her. And so, man, I was ready to come. You know, you could have, even before going, I would have said to her, she's born again. Just count it as done. It's a done deal. She's dying. She's got cancer. I'm going to tell her about the love of Jesus, and it is a done deal. You can count it as her being born again already. So I got to the hospital, and there she was, and she wasn't in a very good condition. I could see she didn't have a lot of time left, and so I said to her, dear, do you mind if I talk to you? Yeah, she said, no, by all means, very polite. Very courteous. I grabbed a chair, sat down. She was kind of semi-propped up in bed, looking at me, listening to me. And I began to tell her the gospel message, like the best I ever knew how to. And I thought, any minute now, we're just going to go through the sinner's prayer. It's a done deal. It's given. How hard can it be? She's dying. Why wouldn't you want to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And so I'm preaching to myself, and I'm getting myself excited. Praise God. I'm ready to almost put my hand up and get saved, you know. And so I get to the end of my little sermonette, and I say, and lady, wouldn't you like to this morning just to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And when I said that, suddenly her eyes got big, and she looked at me, just suddenly turned, her countenance just turned, and she blurted out, no, I don't have any time. And she turned her back and covered herself with the blankets. And I'm like standing there, like horrified. I'm horrified. I'm shocked. And the nurse came in and said, look, I think you better leave right now because she's a little bit agitated. So please, could I leave? So I leave. I go in the elevator. And I'm pondering like something that should have been so easy, yet was so difficult. As the lift gets to the ground floor, I hear this voice saying to me, her blood is gonna be on your hands. Her blood is going to be on your hands. I heard this voice, and immediately a fear gripped in my heart. A fear gripped my heart. And then I remembered these scriptures. And I said, no, you're a liar, devil. I actually preached to her the gospel. I gave her a chance. She heard the good news, but it was a decision that she made. When, by the time I got to the office, news came that she had died. And the problem is, though, when we fail to do our part. Her blood was on her hands. It wasn't on my hands. The problem is when we fail to do our part. You see, God has done his part, but he needs you and I to do our part. We are his hands and his feet, his eyes, his ears, and his mouth on this earth. And he doesn't have anybody else. He doesn't have anybody else but you and I. If he used angels, this world would have been one long time ago. I heard D.L. Moody, a famous evangelist, way back then said, he said these words. He said, if God allowed, would allow angels in heaven to come and preach the gospel, he said heaven would have been evacuated the same minute. And he said all of earth would have long time ago been saved because of how they just value the opportunity of telling somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. God has done his part. It is you and I having to do our part. And the amazing thing, family of God, we win when we win the lost. And that win translates into every other area of our lives. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, he was echoing the heartbeat of the Father. When we think of the sacrifice that the Father made when he gave his only begotten Son to die on a cross for us, we know that God's desire is for every man and every woman, irrespective of color, irrespective of ethnicity, culture, gender, it is for every human being to be made right with God. I want to say that God's compassion for humanity is not wishy-washy. It is an aggressive thing. God's love, God's compassion, his relentless love for humanity is aggressive. How do I know this? Because of the aggressive way Jesus suffered and died on the cross, and the aggressive way he was raised back to life by the power of the Holy Spirit. And our attitude should be an aggressive one as well. Not aggressive in the flesh. Not aggressive in that we're slapping people on their head and condemning them and telling them what they should be like and what they... I'm talking about an aggressive love. An aggressive, relentless love for the lost. Hallelujah. Sharing God's love with people requires but one qualification. That you yourself be born again. That you yourself have come to experience the incredible love and forgiveness that God has shown you. And the ability to share the love of Jesus with others, you know what, is a great acid test for where we are in our walk with God. If you want to know where your walk with God is, just ask yourself, when was the last time I shared Jesus with somebody? If that was a long time ago, then it says your walk with God is a long time ago. It's long. The distance. The closer you are to Jesus, the more you will want to tell people because it's natural. It's natural. If you've tasted of his goodness, taste and see that the Lord is good. You will want to share that goodness with others. You will want to tell people with others. And listen, whether you don't know the Bible and you don't know the Greek and you don't know the Hebrew and you just got one little scripture or no little scripture, it is about sharing God's love. And God will bring those people. You don't have to even look for them. If you just avail yourself and say, God, who do you want to show love to? God will bring those people in. God will open the doors. God will even get that person to ask you, what is it about you? Tell me something about your life. And you'll have no option but to begin to tell them. You won't even have to stop the conversation. That's how desperate God is to winning the lost at any cost. Hallelujah. And the greatest thing is that we win when we win the lost. When we make winning the lost our priority, God looks at us and makes us his priority. Did you know that? There is nothing that touches the heart of God more than when a soul comes into the kingdom. There's nothing. There's nothing. Hallelujah. You talk about satisfaction. You talk about joy. You talk about a peace. You talk about an abiding presence. All of that comes when we begin to share Jesus' love with people, man. But think about Pastor Fred. One of the remarkable things that stand out about his life was there was a continual abiding presence of God. There was a continual abiding peace. Why? Because he was always thinking about how we're going to reach them. How many people got saved? How can we get to those people? How can we win the lost? What can we do to bring in the lost? And there was just an abiding presence of God upon his life, even when he slept. Even when he was just watching TV, even when he was just eating food, there was just an abiding presence of God. Look at somebody and tell them, we win. We win. When we win the lost. I'm going to leave you with this one thought because there's many things that I want to talk about. How do we win? How do we actually win? We say we win when we win the lost at any cost. How do we win? Well, they are present rewards and eternal rewards, but I'd like to talk about a little bit about the present rewards. One of the things the Bible says in Proverbs 11 and 30, it says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he or she who wins souls is what? Is what? Is wise. The Amplified says, the fruit of the uncompromisingly righteous is a tree of life, and he who is wise captures, I like that, he who is wise captures human lives for God as a fisher of men. He gathers and receives them for eternity. The word wise, they speaks about being skilled. In other words, if you are a soul winner, you win when you win the lost. One of the things that you can expect is skill. You become skilled at what you do. You become skilled in your marriage. You become skilled in handling business affairs. The word wise talks about intelligent. It talks about being experienced. It talks about being endued with the ability to judge. Listen, the Bible says in Proverbs 4 and 7, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. These words were written by who? By Solomon. I wonder why Solomon wrote these words. Well, if you backtrack a little bit and go to 2 Chronicles chapter 1, David has handed the throne over to King Solomon, and King Solomon is about to get to Gibeon where the Ark of the Covenant is, and he's about to spend time in the presence of God, okay? So that's 2 Chronicles chapter 1 from about verse 1. And it talks about how they got everything ready and so on and so forth. And everybody was there. All the leaders were there and so on and so forth. And then in verse 7, it says, on that night, God appeared to Solomon. And he said to him, son, ask what shall I give you? Now, Solomon could have asked for anything. He could have asked for wealth. He could have asked for fame. He could have asked for fortune. He could have asked for a house. He could have asked for many things. Let's see what Solomon asks. Verse 8, and Solomon said to God, you have shown great mercy to David, my father, made me king in this place. Now, O Lord, let your promise to David, my father, be established, for you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now, give me wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people, for who can judge this great people of yours? Now listen to what God says. And God said to Solomon, because this was in your heart, and you have not asked riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, all of that he could have asked, Solomon could have asked. Nor have you asked long life, but you have asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I've made you king. Wisdom and knowledge I'm going to give you, and because of the wisdom, because you asked for wisdom, I will give you everything else that you didn't ask for. Solomon could have asked God for anything. Instead, he asked the Lord for wisdom. We win when we win the lost. When we make soul winning a priority. When the Bible says he who wins souls is what? When wisdom comes, everything else comes. That's why Proverbs 4 and 7 says wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom for what? Wisdom into how to serve God. Wisdom to know the will of God. Wisdom to say the right thing at the right time, at the right place. Wisdom to raise up your children. Wisdom for who should I do business with and who should I not do business with. Hallelujah. Wisdom in who should I marry and who should I run from. Wisdom. Let me tell you, when wisdom comes, everything else comes. God said, because you asked me for wisdom, I'm going to add everything else to you. Lift your hands and say, I win when I win the lost. Now, family of God, I'm appealing to you this morning. Number one, let me say, when we get to the judgment seat of God, we're not going to be judged like the heathens are. We're in heaven, but the thing that God is going to ask us, what did we do with people that came upon our paths that didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ? God forbid that we should have people's blood on our hands because we were there with them. We knew they didn't know the Lord, but we kept our mouths shut.
Friends, I don't like to close a broadcast without giving you an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You know, you're either running God's race or you are not. And the moment you are born again, you qualify to run God's race. So today, perhaps as you are watching, you realize that your life is not right with God. Don't go another day, another moment, another hour, another second without putting right with God. The amazing thing is He is so loving and He loves you unconditionally. It's not based on what you can do or what you can say. His love for you never changes. But you know, as you've been watching, that there are things not right. And right now is a good moment. Don't wait for tomorrow, don't wait for next week, but right now is a divine moment. Heaven is open right now for you to respond to come to Christ. And I know that there are people right now watching that are ready to either recommit their lives to Christ or to come fresh, never having come to Christ before. You can do it right now. Would you bow your heads and say after me, Heavenly Father, I ask you for forgiveness. I repent of my sins. I turn my back right now. I renounce the devil and all of his works, but you, Lord Jesus, I invite into my life right now. I receive eternal life and the forgiveness of all of my sins. Thank you for your precious blood that cleanses me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for giving me another opportunity. And I come to you. I open every part of my life. And Jesus, with my heart I believe, and with my mouth I confess that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'll never be the same. From this day onwards forever, I belong to you and you belong to me. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Friend, I'm so glad that you've prayed that prayer. It's just a prayer of faith. It's a simple prayer. But I do believe that God heard the cry of your heart and that right now you're a child of God. And this is a time to celebrate. We'd like to celebrate this decision with you. So would you be so kind as to let us know what's happened in your life? Let us know if this is the first time you prayed this prayer, or if you have any other prayer requests. Right now, the details are coming on your screen, or you can even SMS us your prayer request as well. We do have that facility available. And we're just so glad to be able to join our faith together with your faith and believe God for a miracle just for you. Well, that's about it. We've run out of time. Until next time, God bless you. And remember, Jesus loves you so very much, and so do we.